You're listening to KMXT's Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche, and I'm here with a few people today to talk about the Fish Tech Center, which also has another name, but we'll go into that later. Could you go ahead and introduce yourselves, please, starting with you?
Hi, I'm Alan Osterman. I'm a citizen of Kodiak.
That was Alan Osterman, all right.
Yes. Hello, my name is Larry Ledoux. I'm a Kodiak Island Borough Assembly.
Duncan Fields. I'm on the Kodiak Island Borough School District.
Pat Jacobson, citizen of Kodiak.
All right. So I called you here today to talk about the Fish Tech Center. Could someone give me a little background on the task force that you've kind of gathered together and why you have gathered it?
Yeah, this is Alan. And we, for several years now, there's been an effort by the University of Fairbanks to close out the facility here in Kodiak. And they have an advisory panel that I sit on that's made up of a number of different people here in Kodiak and in Off Island as well. And we're supposed to be the sounding board for the FITC. Over the years, we've had a very difficult time even getting the University of Fairbanks to hold a hearing or hold a meeting for the advisory group, so trying to keep us up informed what's going on. We all recognize what's going on in the budget. We recognize that the University of Alaska is in the same situation as the rest of the state government in trying to find funding to run their programs. We can understand that they've got 400 and some buildings within their system across the state, and they need to start figuring out how to save money. Over the years, this facility has been one of the ones that they've looked at closing down and to save money on their portion. So we gathered a group together of concerned citizens made up of a number of different people, including the borough and the city, and Pat here is with us. She's the next regent on the board of regents for the university. And just started talking about what we could do to probably save that facility because the university is really originally had talked about just closing it, mothballing it, moving all the equipment out of it and sending it all off to different places across the state. So that's the essence of why we formed this committee to try to take a look at that. Out of that has come a little bit of a further discussion in the overall marine seafood education program in Kodiak. Mm-hmm. And whether we need to expand that a little bit as we go through this process.
Mm-hmm. And what is your background?
My background? Mm-hmm. I'm an ex-legislator, served 20 years in Juneau, representing Kodiak, and have taken a vast interest in trying to capitalize some of our educational system here as far as the marine side is concerned. And over time, and it has gone both sides of the equation, whether we have had a strong high school program on voc ed for the marine side and swung the other way to a higher degree of effort on higher education and becoming attorneys and all the rest of this stuff. So Kodiak, I think, has kind of fallen on the wayside a little bit on watching out for its young people and how we educate them in the marine science and the marine folk side of it as well. So that's kind of the interest I've had for some time in doing this.
Does the Fish Tech Center have any student programs?
Well, applied research is more the essence of FITC, and so you don't see a student activity body going through there on a constant basis. And a couple years ago, we tried to convince the university that maybe we needed to build a program there that actually had student body that was moving through. You know, one of my big concerns is why do you have your seafood biologists for Fish and Game and for NOAA and other places around the state, the local aquaculture association, why are they all trained someplace else? Why aren't we training them locally? You know, Pat has been heavily involved in this process as well and has watched the programs that go through there. And Pat, you want to jump in at any time, or anybody wants to jump in at any time on the conversation here?
Sure, this is Pat. They do offer credited courses through the university system, as well as non-credited courses through different types of workshops, and I could list quite a bunch of them right off the bat. Those are always fully attended, and there's a waiting list. In addition to that, they conduct peer-reviewed quality research through federally and non-governmental organization grants and offer various consultations and services to processors and various others.
Can you each go around and tell me what your personal investment in the building is? Why do you feel like it's so vital to the community and why I've decided to be on this task force?
Well, I decided to be on the task force simply because I'm a member of the Bow Assembly, and fisheries is incredibly important to the economic vitality of our community. The Fisheries Industrial Technical Center was established as an applied research facility. I think it's important to make the distinction between applied research and academic research. Most university systems engage in applied research, and professors or researchers, they tackle the questions that they ask, that they're interested in. Whereas applied research, they respond to the questions that we ask. And so the FITC was established to research questions regarding efficient catching, processing of fish, seafood safety, preservation. In fact, they've contributed significantly to the fisheries industry in Alaska. So it's vital that this institution be functioning so that they can tackle some of the challenges our fishermen face, that we can develop more efficient ways to process our food and to utilize waste and value-added processing. And it's very, very important. And traditionally, there's been a certain degree of opposition in the university or academic circles between academic and applied research. In fact, some state systems, they establish separate university systems. For instance, Colorado State, they tackle applied research. University of Colorado, they do academic, because they don't mix very well. And the legislature established this institution in 1991, I believe.
81
as an applied research facility. And eventually, because of reprogramming and reprocessing due to budget cuts at the University of Alaska, this agency was transferred in the School of Fisheries and Ocean Science. And that means it was managed by the academic component of the university. And over time, the applied research component has slowly disappeared until they have, I think, 1.5 employees resident in the facility. And so we believe that if we lose the facility, then the program is lost completely. What we're really interested in is the program that the facility hosts, and we believe it's critical. And if you have a chance to talk to the scientists and some of the fishers and some of the processors, they can tell you how much this institution has contributed to their economic vitality. And so it's very important that this institution exists. We're very concerned that the decision to close it was made very quickly. It was not made with public input. It was just announced. And that's usually not the way the university does business. So what we're looking for, and what the Borough Assembly did and the City Council, we wrote a letter to the president asking that they maintain it at least for another year, and they give our community, the industry, education, a chance to work together to develop a sustainability plan and to refine the mission so it continues to serve the citizens of Alaska with regard to applied fisheries research.
And have you started working on the sustainability plan in your work group?
Yes, we have. And what we run into, as many organizations, money is tight. And so that's really our challenge right now. But mostly it's also to educate the community on the importance of this facility, because I think many don't believe that it exists, or they don't know what it is or what its mission is. And even though it's part of Kodiak's economic well-being.
Mm-hmm. And Larry, you have one of the borough assembly seats on the fisheries work group, too?
Yes, I'm on the fisheries work group.
Yeah, I remember you saying in one of the assembly meetings that you want a forum or some kind of meeting to explain some of the processes to the public, because it can be so confusing. So maybe we can put aside 10 minutes at the end of this talk show to talk a little bit about what the fisheries group is doing.
Sure.
So, Duncan, I just spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about the school construction, so it seems like you're all over the community doing things. you're on this group, and what else are you doing?
Well, I've been in the community a long time, and supporting Kodiak and seeing our community thrive and grow has been an interest of mine all the way back to high school. I'm one of the beneficiaries of the more academic part of the high school that Alan referred to later, and eventually went to law school. But most of my legal career has been spent on fisheries policy, fisheries advocacy, and supporting the industry. Of course, obviously, you really can't talk about Kodiak without acknowledging our importance as a fishing community, both in the state and nationwide. And that's why the FITC Center is so important for this community. It's the only facility in Alaska that I'm aware of that has a processing facility so that you can do that kind of research, applied research, as Larry said, relative to concerns of the processing industry. Early on, the FITC had significant research in the development of the surimi processing that we almost take for granted now. I had ownership interest in a small processor here in Kodiak, and in the early 1990s, the research center did substantial research for us on a couple of the production issues that we were facing as a small processor. So those are the kind of applied research tasks that have been accomplished by the center in the past. And if we lose something like that, we lose the capacity to even consider approaching or solving some of those problems for industry in the future. So as a citizen of Kodiak, a member of the school board, a fisheries advocate for more than 25 years, I see the FITC as a vital part of the fabric of a fishing community, and that's why I'm engaged in trying to find solutions and develop a revenue stream that would maintain this facility for our community.
All right. Those are good reasons. What is your interest in the facility?
I don't really have a fishing background. I was an educator here for a long time, but I just came off being on the Board of Regents for the state for 8 years, and I was chair for the last three. And I've always had an interest and dedication to the fishing industry. I realize its importance. I have five quick points, if you don't mind, that I'd like to talk about in support of it. The processors use it regularly, albeit they are smaller or mid-sized, not the great big ones that normally have their own equipment and experts now. But I just was talking to folks yesterday, and they have every week folks from Bristol Bay and other places in the state who are seeking the expertise of this facility for technical assistance. It's the only seafood processing pilot plant in the state, and it's the only support to that industry in the university system. I think those are important points. It was established by legislative mandate, and to me, that is still significant. That hasn't changed. That's 3 points. The fourth, and if you would indulge me for a second in a couple of statistics regarding fishing, Alaska seafood accounted for more than 50% of the total U.S. commercial fishery landing by volume and more than 30% of the U.S. total landing in value over the past decade. If Alaska was considered a nation, it would be ninth in the world in fisheries. So I think those are important statistics. And in order to remain competitive, modern industries have to be to have an articulate research and development program, and we have that right here. Kodiak ranks third in the state, and Kodiak is ideally situated to have such a facility.
To follow up a little bit on what Pat is saying, and give a little bit of history as well, so that there's a little framework for why we're sitting here today, I think. In 1981, then Representative Zaroff, Fred Zaroff, passed legislation that created the Fishery Industrial Technology Center, and it's in state statute today, currently, under the same name, the Fishery Industrial Technology Center. It was housed in the university president's office at the time. And in 1987, the School of Fisheries and Ocean Science was created in the university and was stationed in Fairbanks. At that point in time, the FITC was moved into there. It took from 1981, from passing of the legislation until 1991, for the facility was actually built in Kodiak. A lot of effort was put in across the state and around finding money to do it, cobbling money together, and it became a university facility, and it's a university building today. Because of what Larry was talking about the academics versus the applied science, we have been a stepchild out of the University of Fairbanks, out of the School of Fishery and Ocean Science. Where is the big money comes into the university when you start talking about the fisheries and oceans? It's ocean grants. That's where all of the money comes, or the bulk of the money comes into the School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences through the oceans grants. So fisheries has kind of been on the downplay a little bit, and also, of course, the School of Fishery being stationed in Fairbanks is kind of a difficult connection to be made between our ocean fisheries and the education system that we want. Because we were a stepchild, there was a move by Southeast, actually, and one of the chancellors, John Pugh, to create a stronger fishery presence in Southeast Alaska. And so the University of Fairbanks worked with Southeast and their campus down there to create a pretty substantial fishery program. Even today, you can hear the Kodiak Community College advertising on the radio to say that we have programs. We have, I can't remember the name of the degree that they were talking about, but it's come to Kodiak Community College because we can get you this through the University of Southeast Alaska. And so we get frustrated here when we look at our Fish Technology Center and say, why isn't Kodiak more involved in this stuff? Well, the battle that has been going on between the University of Fairbanks and Kodiak over FITC has, I think, has created this dynamics of more efforts in Southeast and less in Kodiak or Central Alaska. Even today, and I pulled it up this morning and looked at it, and I pulled their front page and on the School of Fisheries and Oceanographic Science and about us, who we are. Nowhere in there does it mention FITC, Kodiak. It does talk about Southeast, talks about their programs in Seward, et cetera, but it doesn't talk about Kodiak. So you begin to wonder again, you know, have they totally given up on us? Obviously they have, because they offered a building up to the university, of Anchorage, and that confused us even more, because if they're looking to save money, why would they just transfer the building to another college campus? So it's not saving money that they're looking at doing. They're looking at closing it down. And so that's what our effort is, to try to figure out how to do this and keep it viable. And as Duncan was talking, you know, there's a lot of good programs that have, a lot of good education stuff has taken place over there. And a lot was going on at the time. There's been a little bit of a dynamic shift, as they've talked about, as the big processors are not using it anymore like they originally did when we first started up, because as they've grown and developed, they've shifted to their own people for the so they can have private access to all the research that they want done and pay for. So trying to keep a place like this open for the small mom-and-pop operations in the fishery industry is going to be very difficult, because they're not going to have the big bucks like the major processors did them when we first started up the FITC. That's something that the group of us are going to wrestle with over here the next month or so, and trying to come up with a strategic plan to keep it open and maybe even expand what's going on across the fishery marine education program in Kodiak. And I am probably stronger in that aspect than I am just keeping FITC open, because I'd like to see us really get in and expand our fishery programs. Our community college is now the focus point for fishery workforce development, but they don't have a building out there that has a big diesel engine in it that people can go in and learn how to repair. They don't have outboard motors. They don't have radars, and they don't have, you know, you go to any other major fishing community and they have an educational program. They've got all of this kind of vocabs that your young people are trying to learn and get into the industry with. So that'll be a part of the overall program that we're looking at when we end up with this.
You know, the governor last night talked about it wasn't prudent to develop a state budget on one commodity, you know, that we're paying the price and relying on oil. And I think developing a applied research facility that just relies on one source for funds, the University of Alaska, has not been prudent. And one of the opportunities that comes from this crisis, if you will, is that we're going to have to develop the partnerships necessary to really sustain it. And that means Kodiak High School, the local college, the University of Alaska, industry, which are big players in this operation, and local government. That if we work together, and that's the intent of the work group, is to build a foundation of support and sustainability for this facility that will serve the community and not rely on one source. And that's the good thing about budget cuts. It forces people to focus their vision and their mission and to use their resources productively and efficiently. And that's our intent. We believe this facility and the research it conducted there to, again, to be vital to the economic well-being of our community. When I was a young man, I think Duncan and probably Alan, too, you know, we all shoveled shrimp. Hundreds of thousands of pounds would come in. We worked in the crab canneries where crabs, I mean, king crab, tanner crab, dungeness crab, where you could go down and get them. And those have moved away. And other fisheries now have moved in. And now we're maximizing our fisheries with the trawl industry. And if we lose one of those, our community is just going to sink into a hole. And so we really need to be above board and look at how we process and how we catch and working together to sustain this program. And it's very important. And I'm really, you know, the college currently is looking to build a maritime trades program, and I think it's very important. When I was a young man in Kodiak, most people learned their fishery skills from their parents. I did. But nowadays, it's not that way. With limited entry and the reduction of the fleet, we need a program that trains young people so they can enter into this fisheries. They're not learning it from their mom and dad, so they have to be trained. And I think the college has a plan to do that. I think the high school is working with the college. And so we can develop some really strong partnerships if we work together. And that's our intent of our fisheries work group, this work group that we're working on to sustain this facility. It's not just the facility. That's just the focal point of all these good things that can come out of having that facility.
Do you have a deadline for presentation? You said that before that you have more than a month.
Well, the new president of the university has given the chancellor of UAA and UAAF till March the 1st to come up with a recommendation to the president. And he's indicated that if they can't come up with a joint recommendation, then he will make a determination himself as to what's going to happen with it. Our effort at this point in time is to say that March the 1st is not enough time for us to put a very strong, sustainable package together and how to keep the building offering and going. And it's been very difficult because the university over time has gone through quite a few different directors of that facility. Currently, it does not have a director and hasn't had a director now for, a year, 2 years almost. And they've used interim people working for the Sea Grant program out of the university to manage the facility. But without a director, there's been no fundraising going on, and no grant raising going on, and those kind of things that keep the facility active and going. So that's something we're going to have to reinstitute as a part of our strategy plan. But you can't pull that together in a month or 3 months. It takes time to do that. So our effort right now is to try to get the president to hold off a year before they make a final decision.
How many meetings have you had?
We had one more public-type meeting, and then there's been one meeting, two meetings actually we've had since then, just discussing the way forward. And so we don't have anything totally firmed up yet as to, you know, where we're going to be and how we're going to get there. Our main effort is, and I talked to the governor yesterday, and he said he would talk to the president of the university and see about keeping it open for a year or so.
Do you have any personal ideas about how to keep this facility going and kind of put the pressure off the university itself?
I think there's been lots of ideas, particularly in the public meeting, that came forward. One of the assets to the facility is a couple of labs, and labs are not easily funded or prepared. And And I think we have opportunities to, in fisheries generally, to look outside of the immediate needs of the community and look particularly on the West Coast and Gulf Coast for research needs, applied research in fisheries that these labs here would provide. So additional opportunities for researchers outside of the immediate geographical area may be one avenue to pursue for additional revenue of this facility.
Okay. So what are we looking at moving forward? What's the next step? Or have you scheduled another meeting? Is there another stage coming up?
Well, I think the first step is to, as we already have, to ask the university to give us another year, to maintain funding for a year so that we can start working on the partnerships and that will sustain the facility.
All right. Thank you, guys.
One other real quick note, and that's on January the 7th and 8th. The president of the university will be in Kodiak, and along with him will be some of the people who will be making the recommendations to him in reference to this facility. And we are planning on meeting with them to try to judge where they're at and what they want us to do.
Thank you so much for joining us today. You've been listening to Talk of the Rock. Have a great day.